Hey everybody, welcome to The Remedy. Hi, I'm your host, Tony Pantelarusco, and you're listening to us live on the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network. Sorry about that, I was having a conversation with somebody, they sent me something. Okay, hold on a second, let me get my composure. Okay, thanks. Alright, I'm sounding good, I hope so. Anyway, you're listening to us live on the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network. You can access the show by typing in www.themicroeffect.com. Then click on the appropriate links, the chat room links. Come on in, make friends, get acquainted, solve some issues, come up with some great ideas, integrate, interface, and come up with some great solutions. We all can do this. I'm also published all over the internet, especially on Bye Bye Blue Skies and Get Canada and other places. Feel free to look me up. We also have pods. We also have websites. We also have YouTubes. We're always here trying to inspire. Hopefully, I'm doing that. And giving you alternatives to what we're being exposed to. I'm going to be constantly reminding everybody regularly, consistently, that we are at war. And the war that we're being confronted with today is on a level that we've never ever experienced before. We're still dealing with synthetic biology. I was looking at some research the other day. I didn't get a chance to go to it because I had to take off and I was gone for a day or so, and I just got back actually today. On smart dust and the effect of smart dust and what they can do with it. Now, I'm going to implore you to pay attention to your weather. Wherever you live, desert, dry area, arid area, forested area, lake area, ocean area, hot area, cold area, doesn't matter. When you're looking outside and you're seeing the weather patterns changing and you're seeing stuff coming down from the sky, dust and rain, and whether you're up at, you know, you're in Arizona and you're getting dust storms, or you're in Texas and Florida and getting hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis, and you're up in the Northeast and you're getting hit with ice storms and rain, and you're in the Midwest and you're getting hit with all kinds of, you know, varied weather, or you're out in the West Coast and you're getting weather that's again becoming an anomaly, or you're up north where, you know, the snow isn't like it used to be or whatever, pay attention. We are dealing with anomalies in the weather. The weather is being engineered or being weaponized. And they're dropping smart dust in the snow. They're dropping smart dust in the rain. They're dropping smart dust in the wind. How many of you, I mean, I'm in the Midwest, Northeast, depending on how you look at it. How many of you have seen the last little bit of snow that's come in our area? Doesn't it look like laundry detergent powder or some gritty material? That's not snow. That's smart dust technology. We've already had people pick up snow and set it on fire. Now, how does snow ignite? I'm sure there's some university student who's got some theory and some idea that will come up with some rhetoric that to, you know, appease his professor so they can get a thesis paper written on how snow can catch on fire. But for the rest of us who still have our brains intact, who haven't been programmed by the system to believe BS and nonsense, snow doesn't burn. Shouldn't. You know, shouldn't. How many of you look up in the sky and see lines? And then are being told that those are condensation trails. Wow. Condensation trails. And a lot of you grew up, you know, in the last five decades, six decades, like I did, and we saw blue skies, we saw snow, and we saw that when we were outside making snowmen and snow angels and going down our toboggans and our sleds and ice skating on the ponds and, you know, playing hockey and whatever we were doing in the winter, that when we were breathing the hot air or the carbon that came out of our bodies, it crystallized immediately. We saw airplanes flying in the horizon. We saw that little tiny, tiny little line that came out of the back end of an airplane disappear immediately. And today, we're calling those condensation trails. Somebody is smoking something. Somebody is trying to perpetrate a lie, like Hitler used to say, tell people a lie long enough they will believe it. And unfortunately, the morons in the university today, the university students that are going to school, who have become indoctrinated, because it's not education now, it's indoctrination to a program. That's what's going on. It's no different than going to a cult. See, you know, people, there's a concept of believing in God, and then there's a concept of believing in a religion or a ideology or a philosophy, and that's programming. That's getting involved in a cult. That's allowing yourself to be conditioned to believe in whatever the theology or theocracy of the system of that day is. Unfortunately, today the universities are under the Babylonian malarkey, the protocols of Zion, and a whole host of other things that are out there. There's a guy listed a whole bunch of things, Babylonian papers and whatnot. But the bottom line is, they are no longer being educated. So these poor bastards that are going to university are being programmed and subjected to program. They don't know how to even think anymore. They don't know how to just simple deduction. You know, what happens when carbon is exposed to temperatures at minus 40? That's what it is above North America. It's minus 59 above Australia, New Zealand, and down near the South Pole. So how long is carbon crystals are going to stay in that in the cold, especially coming from a hot engine? And then we try to explain to them that the engines are not burning that much fuel, hardly any. And then you tell them to go look at the engines that are being designed today and what they're using to fly. And once they get them up in the air, the most energy they're going to use is a takeoff and landing. Once they're up there, they basically are gliding with a propeller as a fan. So when we're looking at all these things today, okay, this is where common sense starts to have, you know, like you can look up there and say, well, you know, when I was a kid back in the 1960s and I saw an airplane fly, I saw condensation coming out of an airplane, but disappeared pretty quick. There was no line. There was no expansion. There was no X's. There was no Kembos up there. There was no dust particulates that were coming down in 23 hours, landing on the crops and everything we're eating, landing on the soil, landing in our water table, landing on us and going through us and exposing us internally. So what's going on with the university students today? Why can they not see this? How can they not be able to interpret this? What's going on? I was just talking to a friend of mine down in Arizona. She was saying that these universities and the colleges, because the colleges in the States, in the U.S. is a little different than Canada. Universities are the same. Same kind of indoctrination, same kind of stupidity, same kind of baloney, same kind of brainwashing. You send your kids to become more educational-wise, to become more intellectually, to become more, you know, so that they can be better, but they come back changed, disorientated, stupid. You can't hold a conversation with them. They know it all. They think they've got it all until, you know, they have a reality check. I had a guy contact me from Australia, and was taking up naturopathy, and he asked me what my suggestions were. And my suggestion was, if you're going to go to a school, learn it their way. Learn what they want you to learn. Pass your bars, pass your exams, pass whatever. You got to pass to be certified or recognized as somebody who's got a certification. But then when you get out, I said, then learn the right way. And I would say the same thing would apply to anybody going to university today. If you go to university to get a degree so that you can come out and get that $9 million an hour job that you're dreaming about, then my suggestion to you is, yeah, do the same thing. Go to school. Learn it their way, and then learn it the right way when you get out. Because you're going to run into things that you have never, that school did not teach you. And you're going to run into things that you have never been exposed to. And now you're going to have to actually think about how to solve the problem. Because in your paradigm, the only problems you know is whatever the book presented, and then it showed you how it gave you the answers to that problem. It didn't show you how to get the answers. It just showed you what the book did to get the answer, which is supposed to be the guideline for every solution that's going to come your way, you're going to be in for one rude awakening. See, I went to school to learn how to drive a truck many, 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 many millions of years ago. That's what it feels like. And I learned how to drive a truck. But then I got behind the wheel in the real world. That's when I learned how to really drive a truck, because you come across things that you didn't learn in school. All they taught you how to do is bang gears and back up a truck into a dock. And even that was an education once you got out in the open road. Because to back up some of these trailers and some of these docks, you never went through that in school. Some of the things that we had to get into. So, and then the log books and the whole nine yards. And at the time, the log book was a coloring book, and you basically was a book of fiction. So today they got the little tattletales that tell what the driver's doing and how he's doing or whatever, which can be screwed over with a good powerful magnet. But I'm, you know, just a thought. For those of you who need to meet deadlines that can't get by, the point is you don't learn until you do. You know, and that may sound like a really stupid saying, but you don't learn until you actually do whatever it is you're doing. You don't learn herbalism until you actually start getting involved, not only with the studies, but with the application. And because that's when you start to see what's really working. I was having a discussion just prior to the show with somebody up in the TO area. And I was explaining to him how a lot of products today are being perpetrated by a lot of what I call the quackers. The quackers are the doctors are involved in this health food industry. They're still propagating products that don't work, didn't work when they first came out, and are not working today. But they're still selling the leftover, and they got the research from these companies that promoted the research. So, and I explained to him how back in the 90s, mid-90s, we had already used these products and had already been exposed to a lot of these products. They didn't work. The reason why we know they didn't work is we sold enough of them out to the people, and the feedback was it didn't do nothing. It didn't live up to the hype. It didn't live up to anything. And even the staff would try these things. I tried a lot of these things, and a lot of these things didn't work. It tasted like crap. Didn't do accordingly, you would have had to take it based on the current studies that I found out later, you would have had to take at least 5 to 10 times more than they were suggested, and so forth and so on. But the stuff just didn't work a lot of times. So the things that worked and that have worked, that I've not only have observed worked with other people, not only in myself, these are the things I'm putting out there, because then you can try it yourself, see? And the way I see it is this, it either works or it doesn't. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If I'm telling you to take something and telling you to mix it with certain things to try to get done to whatever needs to be get done, and you try those things and it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Now, if you, in all honesty, you have to really give it some time sometimes, and you have to do it enough times in the day before you're going to see any reaction. That's just the way it is. If you're broken down, that means you've already had a time frame where your system has become so weak and so compromised that now you need any and all forms of assistance that you can get. And if you don't, and it's going to take time to restore the balance. Because you got to remember, you don't get sick all at once. You don't break down all at once. What happens is this is a time frame where you accumulate, and things accumulate and accumulate and accumulate over time. And then when it hits, it's a major collapse because you're overloaded. Okay? You're overloaded. So when we're looking at how come you're sick? It's because over that time frame, whatever time frame it was, 40 years, 50 years, 5 years, 2 years, a couple weeks, whatever, you've been exposed to something that has altered your immune system's functionality, has altered your body's immune system's capacity to work the way it's supposed to, or it has turned off your DNA or hyperactivated it. We were talking today earlier again about different pathologies that people have been exposed to. I'm of the mindset that the STDs and a lot of the viruses today aren't even pathological. They're not entirely pathological. I believe a lot of them today, if not all of them, are now integrated with some form of nanobiology or smart dust technology, and they've interfaced them, and now they've set them free on us. See, we were, for the most part, we were overcoming a lot of the health issues that our parents had and our grandparents had. Our immune systems were developing in such a way that these pathologies in the past, like syphilis and gonorrhea, were not affecting us anymore. Things like the flus were not affecting us anymore. The measles were not affecting us anymore. Respiratory issues were not affecting us anymore. Even diabetic issues and other health issues, cancers were not affecting us like they did. Neither was tuberculosis, neither was, you know, whatever. You know, the plague of the day was no longer impacting us. And a lot of the reason was because the environment we were living in was cleaner. Okay, the foods we're eating had the value and the nutrition. The water we're drinking did not have xenoestrogenic or phytoestrogenic materials or plastics or plasticizers or industrial waste or whatever. We didn't have that in this, and we had a water system that was purifying the water, even though they started polluting it with fluoride. And also we had mental disorders and thyroid disorders. So you can see the before and after. You can see how before we were becoming very powerful. Even the foods that our foods contain things in them that protect us. BHT was one of those things that actually protected us from STDs. Then what they wound up doing, they overloaded the BHT and everything, and then people started getting stomach cancers because of the overload. But in small amounts, it was highly beneficial. And then they banned it. No more BHT, blah, 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 you know. Foods we're eating, the eggs we're eating. You know, you look at the early bodybuilders of the 60s and 70s, they looked powerful. They looked strong. They weren't freak shows like we've got today. The freak shows we've got today are nothing but chemically induced freaks. They're not working out. You look at those guys back then, they were chiseled like armor. These guys were strong. They ate the stuff they needed to eat. They were using cleaner products. They did use some of the chemicals, but nowhere near the volume that they're using today. And when you look at the athletes back then, they were tough. They were pretty tough athletes, you know. Today, the athletes are, again, they look big, they look strong, they look powerful. 5 years, they're done. 5 years, you know. You remember hearing about some of the earlier athletes, even the hockey athletes. You know, they were living up to their 70s and 80s. Look at Gordie Howe. Look how long he lived, you know. Was he using any crap? No, but his foundation, when he started as a child, had given him the fortitude to be able to have what he needed for longevity. Today, today you have to basically be a biologist, a physicist, a chemist, all in one. And then you have to learn about quantum physics and scalar energy and microwaves and, well, you know, all these things, because we're now living in a realm where these things are part of our lives. And now they are affecting us in so many different ways. You know, we look at, like I said, the early athletes of the 60s, they weren't asthmatic, they didn't have any health issues. But when you looked up in the sky, you saw the sky, you could see a blue sky. I remember as a child seeing a blue sky. Bright, sunny days. You know, part of the reason why I think we need sunglasses today is because the highly reflective material from the particles that the sun is hitting, that's increasing the photonics of the light, causing us to be, you know, having us to find some kind of shielding or whatever to protect our eyes. And a lot of times we can't see as much as we used to or could used to. It's because the particle matter from the sky is now embedding in the eyes, creating a biofilm over the eye itself. This is why you need MSM, you know, a pinch of MSM, maybe a gram of MSM and an ounce of water dissolved and used as an eye wash, or same thing, a gram of sea salt dissolved, put it in your eye as an eye wash, to break up the biofilm that's building up in your system. See, biofilm is a very important factor in the whole equation, because your insides are loaded with synthetics and your outsides are loaded with synthetics. Biofilm is going to form on the inside and the outside. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that, you know, our environment today is not what it used to be. So when I was a kid, you could go outside and grab a blade of grass and chew on it and suck the juices out. Today you do that and you run the risk of having thousands of little bots getting inside you trying to think that you're a blade of grass and try to take you over. Or smart dust may get down in your lower GI and you can't defecate like you used to. You can't go to the washroom like, or you're always going to the washroom. You can't stop. That's because of smart dust, you know, adulteration in your intestinal tract. See, nobody reads. Nobody pays attention. We're too busy looking at the cartoons on the Walt Disney Channel. The television is the Walt Disney Channel. And when you step into the Walt Disney world, it's a small world after all, whatever they used to sing, okay, that's what happens. You become small in the world because now they've taken you and they've diminished you further and further and further. So when someone comes along and tells you the truth, your first response is always, oh, that can't be. No way. It's something negative because it doesn't fall into the program. What you're talking about is completely outside the program. So it's imperative that you understand that as well. So like I said, things ain't what they used to be. When we're looking at nanotechnology, nanobiology, you know, and you start connecting the dots, you know, where is this stuff? How come it's in the air? How come it's in my clothing? How come it's in my underwear? How come it's in the tampon? How come it's in the pad? How come it's in my socks? How come it's in my colognes? How come it's in my vitamins? How come it's in my pharmaceuticals? How come it's in the bread we're eating? Why is it in all the grains? Why is it in all the cereals? Why is it being used as a storage preservative? Why is it being sprayed in the field? Oh, wait, it's organic. My gosh, it's spraying, or it's on my organics. Oh, my gosh. The world has come to an end. Oh. That's the question you should be asking. Why is it being done? Not the question is, well, isn't this going to happen to them too? Sort of kind of revising some things here. Okay, you should be asking, why is it there? Why is it being put there? Why are they putting this stuff by my genitals? Why are they putting this stuff on my skin? Why are they putting this stuff in my hair? You guys are getting, you know, you watch that television show and you see the woman with the nice shiny hair and they give you this thing about the, you know, the conditioner, and you put that conditioner on, you got that nice smooth waxy looking hair. Possibly, maybe, probably. They added nanoparticles to that, polymer material that the nanoparticles can utilize, and then it starts to permeate and penetrate into your brain. And then you wonder why you're having mental disorders. You can't think. You're having Parkinson's. You're having Alzheimer's. You're having moods. You're having headaches all the time. You can barely keep awake. You feel listless, no energy. You can barely pay attention to what's being talked about. You can't focus. But does anybody make that connection? Something to consider in the year 2018, not 1918. See, this is where thoughts and thought-provoking programs like this come along to get you to think. Because once you understand the nature of how we are at war, then you learn how to defend yourself accordingly so you don't get snuffed out. So they don't fire a 5G beam into your skull and decide to cook your brain cells, or to, as it's going into your going to access your telephone pole, as it goes through your body, it activates a nano program, which now allows nanoparticles to assemble in your system, causing you a great deal of duress. Imagine that. Imagine this. Leave you at the stop because we're coming to break. But imagine this. You got all this programming operating in your system from smart dust, smart sensor, nanoparticles, synthetic biology, nanobiology, all in one. It's inside your system. What happens if I turn on a frequency that activates all that in your system? Think about that. All right, come on back. Hey everybody, we're back. We are back. Figure let you listen to that song, keep you kind of mellow. So all the things that were going on today, you know, being mellow. I used to be mellow. I used to have a mellow disposition. Not no more. Now I'm just basically uptight, enraged, and that's a 24/7 deal with me. And the reason why that is because what I see and what comes across my platform, and then I get beamed with frequencies just like everybody else. And I gotta tell you something, just like I said, to keep you guys current on the activism part of this, because a lot of activists don't talk about this too much, but activists get hit hard. You have no idea what activists go through sometimes, you know, operating a radio station and everything goes wrong all the time. Kind of a freaky thing that happens, you know. You're doing your own little thing in your own little environment. Things go wrong all the time. And then you're getting hit with different frequencies. And then you start getting mad. And you can't figure out why you're so mad. You're getting mad at the slightest thing. And then you recognize, by the time you recognize it, it's too late. The chemicals are now lit up inside of you. And you have been pounded with a frequency. So when you see a lot of activists out there, some of them are going through some heavy-duty things in regards to their health, in regards to the attacks they're dealing with, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental, whether it be fiscal or physical. And then you got to remember there are family members and close associates to them and their bloodline that they have to deal with, who, again, don't agree with what they're doing and then try to make their lives difficult. That's not easy, I got to tell you, because, you know, you can always tell somebody who's outside the realm of family, you know, FRO. You can tell anybody FRO all the time. You know, but when they're family, you got to kind of keep a tongue in cheek on some of that, and it can be difficult. Sometimes that still comes out, and sometimes it needs to come out. You know, sometimes it needs to come out, because sometimes some of the family members have this arrogance and this haughtiness, thinking that they're superior because they have whatever they have, and they don't realize they're being pumped with a frequency. They have no idea that they're being pumped with this arrogant aspect of think they're superior with their frequencies, and it's appealing to whatever part of them it's appealing to, but it's what's going on. And so sometimes you have to give them a good, you know, smackdown, if you will, to give them, you know, bring them back to sobriety. You know, you are living in this planet like everybody else. You are eating the same crap everybody else is. Just because you haven't seen it manifest yet in certain ways, it is manifesting in others. I mean, when they tell you that, you know, there's nothing wrong with them, and then they're taking prescription drugs, that's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. So when we're looking at some of these people and some of the things they say, what they say and what they show are two different things. Pay attention to what they show, you know. And again, just presenting this to you, I'm not saying that, you know, to feel any more or any less for me one way or the other. We're in this fight together, all of us who are awake and all of us listening to these shows, all of us. And we just need to network better to come up with better ideas. That's, I think, the biggest issue we've got going on right now, and not get caught up in some sort of leadership game where I'm going to be the leader, you're going to be the leader, and we're going to fight because we don't agree, and blah, blah, blah. The spirit of cooperation has to manifest above all else, or nothing gets done. Nothing gets done, you know. And that's all I can promote and propagate is the spirit of cooperation. If you don't cooperate, nothing happens. It's okay to have your disagreements. It's okay to have, you know, whatever you need to have to form a discussion. But at the end of the day, you're not the enemy. The enemy is what we're all dealing with. The enemy is what we're all having to fight with. The enemy is what we're all having to contend with here. And the enemy is killing us all. Okay? And somebody said, well, who's the enemy? When people ask me that question, I'm always tempted, why don't you take your red pill and go back to sleep? Because seriously, You're not thinking. I mean, when somebody asks you that question, think, you know, tell them very quick, you know, very, very politely, unless they need a good smackdown. Who would have the power and the capacity to do this? Who has the financial power, the financial capacity, and the backing of a military to be able to do something on this grand scheme? That's who you're looking at. That'll get them to think. You don't even have to mention any names. This goes to the highest level, the highest office in the land, to the lowest. You, as an individual, as a citizen of whatever country you're living in, have absolutely no rights and no power. Even though they've fed you a line that you're free and you're a free man and a free woman and you've got liberties and you've got democracy or socialistic or whatever it is that they're telling you have, nobody is free. Nobody. And try to do something that's illegal in your country and see how fast they go. Try to grow some marijuana in North America, you know, without a license or without anything. Just grow it and then try to sell it in the street. See what happens. So much for your freedom. So say, well, we shouldn't be selling drugs. So the point is, you don't have freedom. That's the point. You don't have freedom. Your money is regulated. Your money's taxed more than once. Now, isn't that free? You know, the pills you're taking, the nutraceuticals that you're utilizing for your health is constantly being under the barrage and the attack by the Food and Drug Administration, by the government officials. And what business do they have getting involved anyway? They're not doing anything properly anyhow. Food and Drug Administration should have been on silica, like, you know, white on rice, you know, 50 years ago. They knew then it was a genetic damaging material back in 1960. They knew then that it caused a great deal of cellular destruction in the body. They knew then it could cause skeletal compromises. They knew about this, and yet they didn't say a word. Not one word. Not one finger was lifted. But now, tell them you don't want a vaccine because it's got genetic material, it's got viruses live and active cultures inside, or it's got mercury and it's got aluminum in it, or it's got some other component from polysorbate 80, polysorbate 60. You know, when you consume these things, they're problematic. But when you inject these things, they're hyper-problematic. But talk about telling them that you want your rights as a person of mankind, that you are of mankind, that you're a man and a woman under God's creation, okay? That you do not wish to have your son or daughter or this man or this girl or woman having infiltrated with this vaccine. know what I mean? But the FDA will be all upside you, one side down the other. Oh, you got to take those vaccines because these guys paid us $20 million to get the patent on it, and now you must take it so they can get the money back. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not about your health. It's about these drug companies recovering their $10 million. You know, have you ever noticed this too? Have you ever noticed that after so many years, then you got all these lawyers coming out, well, if you've had, you know, this vaccine or this shot, and you've suffered all these symptoms and blah, blah, contact us, we'll defend you. But you don't see that at the very beginning when they initiate the sale of these drugs. And these drugs today are now nano delivery method, bypassing the tissue and the cells, going directly into the genetic code. You know. So, my point here is this. This is where you need to ask the right questions and understand that you are not being protected like you think. Your FDA, the Health Protection Branch in Canada, so like me, say, well, that's the Americans. You know, we got the Health Protection Branch in Canada. In Canada, for those of you who are Canadian, you're going to get really pissed with what I'm going to tell you now. Our labeling laws on these labels are pathetic. They are so, they're not even worth putting on the can or bottle. They're so pathetic. All the Canadian government requires here is that they're bilingual. That's it. They're not telling you all the chemicals they're putting in our food either. They're not telling you about all the soy. And what is an artificial flavor? Anybody care to take a stab at defining what that might be? You don't know. What's a natural flavor? You don't know that either. You're assuming that because it's a orange beverage or an apple beverage, it's a natural flavor, it's going to be an apple flavoring or an orange flavoring. But you really don't know. That's an assumption. See, when they put these kind of things in the label, they should be defining what is a natural flavor. What is a citric acid? Is this, you know, to give it that lemony taste? Or is it some sort of excretion? Is it some sort of excretion of some beaver's anus? You don't know. You don't know. You just don't know. Okay. And what is aluminum lake doing in your bubblegum? What is titanium dioxide doing in your bubblegum? It's a nano composite that once you start chewing on these things goes directly into your brain. Is that properly labeled? No. What does a sassafras potassium do? What does that causes thymus damage, and that was done with rat studies. So what's that doing in the gum? If it's causing thymus damage to the rat, what's that doing to you? But see, that was also patented by some German company way back in the day, and they had to recoup their money. So they decided to sell it to an unsuspecting, ignorant people who don't know anything about these type of chemistries. And so right off the bat, and then you're assuming that the government is going to take care of you. Welcome to Canada, eh? Whether you're French or English or any other ethnicity, you are targeted in this country more so than you realize. Why is water being challenged in Canada when it comes to fluoride or not having fluoride? If the government studies and the university studies are saying that fluoride is toxic, why is that in our water supply? Causes severe thyroid damage and thyroid cancers. Why is that? Because it's going to protect your teeth? Really? Don't you think that's a bit of an oxymoron, that on one hand you're going to wipe out your thyroid and the other hand it's going to protect your teeth? It's a poison. Yet it's in our water table in Canada. And if they take it out, they might put lithium in place. Think about that one. Ooh, lithium. Wow, we're really mellow in Canada. This is why Canadians are so mellow. It's not because they smoke marijuana. It's because they're drinking water. Get that lithium in you. Get it in. Way in. That kind of thing. That's why people are buying bottled water in this country. I don't think I want my brain scrambled any more than they are. Now look at our chemtrails, guys. Wow, where's our health protection branches? Where's our Ministry of Environment? Where are these people? Where are these institutions? Why are they not making a stand on behalf of the Canadians to protect us in our environment? That's because Parliament has signed so many treaties with so many different countries, we no longer have a Canada. We're just an estate given to the planet. They can come and do whatever they want anytime they want to do it. Some of you are saying, well, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, go look at the cell tower map of Canada. Those of you in Canada who've never seen this, type in cell tower map of Canada. We have no Canada. What we have is an antenna array. This country is one big, huge antenna array. We may be the weapon of the planet, the secret weapon of the planet. You never know. But you look at all those antennas on there, that cannot be good for Canada. It cannot be good for the butterflies, it cannot be good for the bees, and it cannot be good for the sparrows, and it sure as hell is not good for us. When we see the butterflies, bees, and sparrows disappear, which we're seeing, we're not that far behind. And this is for old Canada. So I'm making this point, and I'm trying to really hit it home, that we don't have a safe place. We do have each other to network with and to, again, cooperate and come up with great ideas so that we can neutralize what's going on. Number one, and I'm going to state this very strongly, you hear any songs, if you hear any rhetoric, and you hear any political leader, if you hear any religious leader come out and say that we as a general population in North America, I'm going to speak now to the whole continent, that we are responsible for the environmental damage that's being done right now, you reject that idea right then and there. We had nothing to do with the damaging of the environment. Let's look at the ones who actually did. Let's look at Ford. Let's look at GM. Let's look at Chrysler. Let's look at the steel industry. Let's look at the aluminum industry. Let's look at the coal industry. Let's look at the telecommunications industry. Let's look at the bioengineering industry. Okay. Let's look at all the people walking around today who are sick and not healthy. Let's look at the bioengineering industry today who have caused the genetic anomalies that are occurring in our bodies as a result of nanobiology, synthetic biology. Nanoparticulates from the industries have been dumping this stuff in the air. Let's look at the chemical industries that have been dumping the nanotechnologies, the synthetic technologies into the water table. Look at all the plastics in the ocean. That's who's responsible. Because if they really wanted to create an environment that's healthy and clean, we would not be using the materials we're using today on this planet that's causing the genetic anomalies and the genetic damage to occur on a planet-wide scale. Petrol products, why are we still using gasoline? It's outdated. It's totally outdated. Okay, we're looking at the Tesla Motors. They're coming up with cars. They're driving just as fast, and just you need battery stations to charge them up. No environment. Why aren't we using hydrogen? Hydrogen used to be used at one point in time. Why aren't we using turbine engines? These are technologies that we had back in the 50s that they squashed. And who squashed these technologies? Was it Ford? Was it General Motors? Was it Chrysler? Was it Standard Oil? Was it General Tire? Hint, hint, hint. Hint, hint, hint. And then they're going to turn around and blame you for the environmental issues we have today when we already had the technologies 50 years ago to have kept this environment in this state of clean and purity. Or a lot cleaner and a lot pure. So the next time you're looking at taking the blame for something you had nothing to do with, you know, and you hear somebody propagate this nonsense, You can tell them what I say all the time. My favorite two words. I won't say it here on the radio because they're not meant to be said out loud. Not on general public anyway. But that's my point. Okay? Nobody reads anymore. Nobody's paying attention. And if somebody comes along with a hypnotic frequency and then sings and puts the words to that frequency, and then you start going along with that frequency, you're now being hypnotized to believe that you're responsible. Time to change that thinking. Okay? Time to change that thing. Time to reassess the idea of sending your children to a university. Maybe they better off doing their own self-studies and becoming entrepreneurial and developing their own technologies, patenting their own technologies so that they can be free of any kind of grasp from these corporocracies that will take their inventions and bury them like they did back in the 1950s. Something to think about. Something to think about. Imagine if you had a car, a turbine engine, that could get you 500 miles to a gallon. Or, better yet, a turbine engine that ran on steam. There is no excuse today that that can't be done because we've got the ceramic technology already in place that can handle the heat and the pressure of this of a steam engine, a steam turbine. So why imagine that. You put water in the tank. It has a boiler system of some kind or an electromagnetic heating system like a magnetron. You heat up the water. You got the steam. You can pressurize the steam to move a fan from a turbine engine, and you got a car that can do maybe 200 miles an hour and doesn't burn a drop of fuel. Wow. Imagine that. Imagine that. And imagine that they already have that tech to do it. And they buried it. And then they're telling you, because you're burning gas, we're going to get that gas tax to pay for cleaning the environment. You see it getting any cleaner? You see the chemtrails disappearing? You see the water table getting pure? You see the fish stocks coming back? You see the bird population increasing? Hey, you see the monarch butterflies coming back to Ontario? I haven't seen one in 7 years. This is a monarch haven. Think about that for 1 minute. Just think about that. Are you seeing these things happening with the current policies in place today? No, you're not. I'm always referring to the MicroEffect Broadcasting Network. It's an activist network that is giving you things to be active about. I guess that's one way of doing it. So why don't you support them? Give them a hand. You know, why not? You know, instead of wasting your money supporting a political leader that isn't doing anything for you and wasting your money for people who are campaigning to get your vote who aren't going to do anything for you, why not send your support to a radio station that is doing something for you? You know the old saying, don't ask what your activists can do for you, but ask what you can do for your activists? There you go. Give them a hand. Keep them going. Keep them floating. Okay, you got me here at 519-977-5351. Or independs@yahoo.com. I have a website, augmentedforce.com. There on there's a catalog link. Feel free to check out the catalog. People have been contacting me, so I'm directing you right now to go to the catalog and see what's there. In there, there's information on nano. If you haven't read the information on nanotechnology, nanobiology, synthetic biology, then I encourage you to go on that site and pay attention to that information. Download whatever you want off the site. It's all for free. There's no taxes. There's no credit cards. I don't need your firstborn. I don't even need to know who you are. Feel free to access the information and then share it with your network. Give it away. Give it to everybody you can. Okay, give it a go. You never know. You might create friends in the process and network away. You got byebyebluesky.com as well. I'm always encouraging you to go check out her site. She's always doing something. She's always creating something. She's got a billboard campaign in Canada that is unreal. You cannot help but get the message when you see her art and her billboard. Very creative, very ingenious. Check her out. Check out her site. Give her support any way you can as well. You got Brian396. He's out there floating around. Go check him out. He's also got a lot of heavy-duty information on the aspects of this nano in a different not necessarily completely different, but he has his take on it with his research. Check him out as well. He's got solutions too, and he's offering to help people in any way, shape, or form, and he'll direct you to the information as well. These are places for you, and I would encourage you to, again, expand your horizons, learn what you can, as much as you can, on this topic, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. We've got frequencies coming around the corner with 5G, and when you start looking at this research from his end, Brian396, my end, at augmentandforce.com, and bye-bye Blue Skies end, you're going to see how this is all integrated and going to be incorporated with the 5G. And you cannot afford to be asleep at this time. You cannot afford to be in the Walt Disney Channel. Okay? You cannot afford this at all. This is going to be extremely, extremely dangerous on levels we can't begin to cope with. Just remember this, when that goes on, you may go off. Keep that in mind. When that goes on, you may go off. And what I mean that by that necessarily, not that you might be dead, but what if something could come in and because of the of a programming of particulates in the brain, you could be activated to become a beyond belief hostile or beyond belief docile, where you could be victimized through frequencies. Imagine that. Someone turning on a frequency and all of a sudden you're in a bloodbath with somebody and you don't even know why. You don't even know the person. Imagine that. Imagine something like that. It's called remote neural monitoring. And there was another thing there as well. But anyhow, there's a lot of information on voice-to-head technology. And a lot of targeted individuals have already been hit with this. And it's coming out more and more. So when we're looking at things in regard to what to do and how we do what we need to do, this is why it's important that there is a narrative there to collaborate and cooperate in getting answers, because you're not going to find them on your own, not all of them, you know. And then start to really understand and recognize what is coming around, what's already here. I just mentioned to you today a bunch of things that's already right here, right under your nose, right flagrantly in front of you, that you are basically not paying attention to. It just basically is because you've been so desensitized to these things for so long, you just think this has become an accepted norm. You're so busy with other things in life that are distracting you that this is, you know, what are you going to do about it? The rhetoric there. And then on top of that, you become desensitized to whatever's there, and you don't act because, it's been here forever, you know, that kind of thing. It's important, like I said, you pay attention, you know. You never know. And then when you listen to each other, you'd be surprised at the ideas you're going to create. It's going to be phenomenal. Going to be phenomenal. So, anyway, listen, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. But till then, get with it. Get off your backside. Get out of the Disney Channel, study, get active. All right, thanks, take care. See you in a bit.